One of the greatest tropes of science fiction is the idea of being able to travel back in time. From H.G. Wells and The Time Machine to myriad others, the allure of going back in time and fixing some kind of past mistake or reliving a special or not so special moment on the personal side to returning to watch a battle from the distant past are all undeniable. Out of all of the potentials, really speculations in science fiction, backwards time travel remains one of the most popular ways to fuel the imagination. We are also tantalized by the fact that the universe doesn't just allow forwards time travel, it forces it upon us. We are all time travelers. No matter what we do, we will always inch forward in time, moment by moment. And only under very special circumstances can time appear to stop. None of which can really be something normal matter, which is what we're made out of, could ever experience, if there is anything to experience at all. But what we can do is sit back and watch time pass, and Einstein's theories of relativity allow us to control the rate at which it ticks. We can and do apply that, especially in the GPS system. But the cost of doing that is that the faster you move forward in time, through gravity or relativistic speeds, the further you move away from the time you started, no matter what you do. And there does not seem to be a mechanism to go backwards. You cannot ever get back to where you started from, whether you have a flux capacitor and a DeLorean or not. And this isn't just a matter of practicality, but a matter of an outright prohibition. But there is a catch, more on that in a bit. A loophole, if you will, a very obscure one. One of the major reasons that scientists are very dubious about backwards time travel is that because, unlike traveling to the future, it creates all sorts of very problematic paradoxes. Going to the future has odd paradoxes for sure, such as the twin paradox, where you set out in your spacecraft going at relativistic speeds, turn around at some point and head back, and find that you and your twin sibling are now two different ages. This isn't a paradox, really, since it doesn't actually violate anything. It's just an odd quirk of the universe. But with backwards time travel, if you go back and convince your grandparents to not get married, then how do you exist? It's unlikely you would erase from a photograph if you were to somehow be able to do this. The universe doesn't seem to have a mechanism for that. But the most simplest answer is that you just cannot ever be in that position. And there are physical reasons to think that. One way to go backwards in time is to exceed the speed of light. Time slows the faster you go, but it stops at the speed of light. If you could go faster than that, you would travel back in time. The problem is, you would need infinite energy to do so, and nothing seems to have infinite energy, except perhaps the universe itself in some models. But appears to be wholly uninterested in backwards time travel itself, at least right now. There are tricks, however. If you take a system, I'm betting you're going to say that since I'm going to explain time, I'll use a game of billiards or football and imply the American sense, but no. Let's here say a fine game of Olympic curling, and we simply run it backwards, meticulously tracing it back exactly as it was played out in reverse. You might say that it represents traveling back in time, and it does in a sense. But in that sense, it's simply returning a system to a previous state. It's just reversing motion, but in a way that's distinct from time dilation and physical time in the sense that you'd need to go back and visit the past, though in some sense you would be doing that. But in reference to the rest of the universe, it's just recreating the past. Time is not that well defined among the physicists. It's one of the things that few agree on because it's weird. That said, there appears to be a loophole here. Actually, several. So the main ones are the infamous tachyons. The laws of physics actually do not prevent particles from going faster than light and heading backwards towards the Big Bang. In fact, one could wonder what that actually means. When particles careen back in time at FDL and hit the Big Bang, not well-trodden territory for sure, but in principle they can exist. The problem is that those particles could never slow down to the speed of light. Again, they'd need infinite energy to do that. So they are stuck moving backwards, while ours are stuck moving forwards. But another loophole literally is just that. That of quantum loop time. Hidden within the physics of Einstein, there has always been the question of time loops that, in the quantum world, might allow for a particle to travel backwards to some other point in the past. These loops appear in general relativity and are known as closed, time-like curves, or CTCs, and no one's ever really been able to figure out what they imply. Think of it like this. So Einstein made the point that space-time can curve, which it's since been well proven that it does. When we look at all those beautiful images from Hubble and Webb and others of gravitational lensing, we are seeing the curvature of space-time due to a gravitational source. And astronomers do valuable science with those lensing effects, because they can act as hypertelescopes sometimes. But here's the weird part of general relativity in this regard. It doesn't put a prohibition on that curvature. So if you could bend space-time in on itself, a closed curve, then voila, you have a pathway to the past. The issue is that you need a titanic amount of mass rotating really rapidly to get this effect. But here's the odd thing. We know that exists in nature in the form of black holes. It's often stated that nature prohibits backwards time travel, and yeah, for all intents and purposes, it does. But it actually may not under certain conditions, and it generates a natural way to do that with a black hole. Trouble is, it's useless because the black hole itself prevents you from ever surviving it. For the quantum world, though, maybe that's possible. Ultimately, physicists have long found the idea of closed time-like curves to be one of those things that isn't strictly prohibited, but suffers from so many paradoxes and impractical problems that it doesn't seem likely that it's actually happening in the real world. Whatever the real world is, we're talking about quantum mechanics here. Here, the idea of backwards time travel from general relativity is shrunk down to the quantum level. These are termed quantum, closed, time-like curves, and work much the same in principle. Physicists generally do not like these, however. It's no secret that we flat out know that there is a massive disconnect between quantum mechanics and general relativity. The disconnect is specifically with general relativity. It breaks down and stops giving meaningful answers on quantum scales. It just doesn't hold up in quantum mechanics. And time works differently on the quantum scale. So it stands to reason that GR's closed time-like curves would not hold there. On the quantum scale, time is more or less just a ticking clock. On general relativity's scale, time can bend and warp, just like space can in the presence of gravity. No one is sure how those two go together. It's one of the great mysteries of physics. But recently, the idea of quantum closed time-like curves has made somewhat of a comeback because of an idea that's recently gained some traction. I've mentioned it in other videos, and it's a weighty word. Retrocausality. This gets into quantum entanglement. We know what happens. You can do it in a lab. But it remains very mysterious in that it allows two particles to interact instantly, regardless of their distance from each other. This seems to violate general relativity in the sense that whatever is being exchanged, it's happening faster than light. Einstein loathed this spooky action at a distance, and he reasoned that it must be predetermined somehow. Trouble is, this is not held up in experimentation. It does not appear to be predetermined, at least in a straightforward way. So the intuitive thing to say here is that, well, maybe our ideas about distances in space aren't entirely true, and that there is some connection possible through space, or whatever underlies it, somehow. That of course led to questions of quantum communications, if we could ever figure out a way to harness that. We'd have instant communication with any point in the universe, which quite simply demolishes the Fermi paradox, because we'd be looking for communications in all the wrong places right now. And that proof of alien life could come from the observation of a quantum particle rather than a radio telescope. Trouble is, every experiment done with quantum entanglement shows that no meaningful information can be sent. It just doesn't let you do that. Retrocausality is gaining traction because it actually addresses this, and it's actually the more astonishing of the two ideas, even more weird than that of quantum mechanical entanglement that does not care about distance. Retrocausality doesn't make the connection between particles in space. Distance is preserved here. Instead, it makes the connection through time itself. What would have to happen here is that when an entangled particle changes state, it messages back in time to when it was originally entangled with the other particle. That means that the other particle knows of the state change and reflects it, yet it's still not predetermined. Instead, it's determined at one point in time. The past is told about it, so the past changes the present of the other particle in reaction. Needless to say, that's weird, because then it's all about retroactively changing the past. Again, though, this would seemingly come up against paradoxes again. There are some who have argued that in the past, retrocausality in this way could actually get past all of the paradoxes, but it normally invokes the many-worlds hypothesis, where new realities are constantly splitting off, leading to infinite outcomes in what amounts to alternative universes. This is contentious for many reasons, though it does have its adherents. But in the 2010s, new ideas surfaced that said you don't actually need many worlds to resolve this problem with retrocausality. This one gets into the Heisenberg uncertainty principle and one of the numerous weird counterintuitive aspects of the quantum world. Until you observe a particle, it exists in a kind of cloud of uncertainties, probabilities. What a measurement means in this regard is a subject in its own right, but it appears to be the case that a measurement affects the outcome. What if you go back and change an outcome in something that's never been measured and hasn't ever collapsed? All you're doing is altering a probability, and in that sense, not really changing anything, because the history of that particle hadn't ever been written. You are changing the past, but the unwritten past. This is something that seemed testable in some way. In a 2023 thought experiment proposed by Nicole Halperin and colleagues, link in the description below, that in quantum computing, by using a very specific data technique to reproduce this effect, it would be analogous to an actual particle sending a state back in time in nature. It's a complicated experiment and only works 1 in 4 times, but it does so reliably in the thought experiment, and still boils down to a measurement of a particle sending information to its entangled particle partner in the past. The problem is that it's really more of a mathematical simulation than an experiment, and if it were truly retrocausal, it would happen all the time. But the idea is still testable in some way, but also still remains a thought experiment. Work since, however, by one of the researchers involved, David Arvidsson-Shakur, in conjunction with Ephraim Steinberg at the University of Toronto, have devised a physical experiment to look at the same concept, here sending individual photons through quantum time loops. Interestingly, as these experiments are eventually done, they actually also would reveal clues about the relationship between general relativity and quantum mechanics, and even potentially, finally, an understanding of how gravity operates on quantum scales. That has proven really elusive in physics for over a century now. Weirdly, there may be an implication here. If you can change a quantum state in the past, while you might not be able to travel to the past yourself, you might actually be able to send a quantum measurement back in time. And if a scientist in the past knew to look at that particle, say we set up an experiment like this right now, and then watched the particle until some scientist in the future, aware of the experiment, made a measurement, we could, just maybe, caveats and caveats here, immediately get a message from those same researchers or someone else located in the future. It's anyone's guess what that might mean. But if meaningful communication of a sort can be established and a scientist right now could ask a scientist who knows about these entangled particle experiments in the future, even far future, making it a kind of time capsule, within minutes of turning on the experiment today, we could get the answer to the questions we asked as a ground rule. Think about that. Are there aliens? Are we still there? If it turns out possible and there are no physical roadblocks that crop up, the message in return would be a communication from the future, and would represent the future altering the past, meaning the answer we may get may just be, don't ask. Thanks for listening. I am futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently giving a hearty guffaw to Marty and Doc Brown. They had it all wrong. If one wants a proper time-traveling car, don't do it in stainless steel, and you don't need a flux capacitor to muster the forces of the universe. All you need is a LeBaron, an AI, and a quantum mechanical opossum, and I stick by it. Not that it worked, but that's only because the LeBaron is jealous. There is now another car. Not good. And be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.